Hey, welcome back to the Ari Huffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI. My name is Big Mike. I am Ari's producer. Ari is out on vacation, but I made it to the movies over the holiday, and I thought I would share some stories with you while I'm here trying to. I've read your texts and gotten your emails, and you wanted fresh new stuff while Ari was away. So I have heeded the call, and here's some new stuff for you. Well, in 2009, visionary director James Cameron introduced us to the fantastical world of Pandora, a world of such indescribable wonder that even the then Vice President of the United States couldn't articulate what it actually was.
This new program that I looked at it and wished I was seeing it in 3D, and you sit there and you watch this science fiction thing unfold in front of you.
I think Avatar.
Avatar. The magic of it is kind of overwhelming.
3 years ago, we learned The Way of the Water, and much like, no, I'm sorry, the movie is The Way of Water. Avatar, The Way of Water. I messed that up. And much like that movie itself, it has no beginning and no end. I don't know if you know that. That's The Way of the Water. But now we return to Pandora once again to discuss the long-awaited sequel, Avatar: Fire and Ash. Now, as you well know by now, the only mandate I believe in is the bad movie mandate. And joining me for another trip to the third dimension, it's KVI program director, Mr. KVI himself. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I don't know. How many mandates has this been now?
Too many.
That's too many. Too many to even count.
I'm a regular Jay Inslee over here, just mandates all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Did we go to the Way of Water?
We sure did.
We did.
Okay, we went to the press screening of that.
Wow.
Also, the Disney company did not want us to see Avatar: Fire and Ash. No press invite this time around for us. They don't want us to see it. It's too powerful, too profound.
Well,
too deep.
It turns out if you saw the last one, you kind of saw this one.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of the thinking. They don't need any critics, maybe?
Possibly.
I don't know.
There was a press screening.
Oh,
we just weren't invited to it.
Oh. Well, then I guess we're going to have to come to our own conclusions on that one.
Exactly. So part of our bad movie mandate is that, you know, you're a bit of a connoisseur of the third dimension, right? You know, you like 3D movies.
I do. I'm one of the rare weirdos who actually likes 3D movies. Yes.
So, and I like them okay. I think I like 3D movies more because I like hanging out with you than I like the 3D movies themselves.
I appreciate that.
But no, we've had some fun times in the third dimension, like the time that we went to go see that Predator movie after seeing another movie.
Spent five
hours in the movie theater just to go into the third dimension. Actually, we went to the fourth dimension that time with the rumble seats and whatnot.
We do some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, James Cameron, it feels like at this point for me, and I don't know about you, but for me, it's really about the technology to see like what, you know, what sort of CG graphics or what new effects that he has, you know, planned and that sort of thing. So really, at this point, I go in. I wasn't a fan of the first Avatar.
Right.
The second one, they're fine. They're throwaway popcorn entertainment. But at least with those two, you had like it was breaking ground as far as special effects go. Even when you get to the second one, that one was, you know, he was doing all sorts of different tricks now, and that, you know, the CG even looked even better and that sort of stuff. So I thought going into this one, he was gonna ratchet it up even further.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there's anywhere else to go.
No, and I remember getting ready for this movie thinking, I'm like, you know what, buddy? He's got something up his sleeve. Something he's hiding, some new technological innovation that he's keeping under wraps, hasn't told us about. Turns out, no.
No.
It's just kind of more of the same. And these movies, I guess we should say at this point during our review, they are fine.
Yeah.
I don't think they're specifically bad, but I don't think they're particularly good. I have seen all of these movies exactly one time.
Yeah.
In the theater.
Yeah, same.
And there's probably a different discussion for another time that involves what even is a movie and what is suitable for theatrical exhibition versus watching at home. Because if you watch these movies at home, there's nothing there for you.
Yeah, you kind of need to go someplace with the big screen. And if you like 3D, the way he wants you to see both of all of these movies is on the biggest screen possible in 3D.
And that's exactly what we did. Much to the chagrin of some of our friends, I know over Christmas, I took a little bit of heat for the specific time that we went to go see the movie.
Yeah.
We saw opening night on Thursday at the Pacific Science Center in the Boeing IMAX Theater, the largest screen in the state, perfectly calibrated to James Cameron's specific specifications for 3D exhibition. And it's real IMAX in real laser 3D, and it is the ideal way to see the movie. And that, I don't know, I almost look at these Avatar movies, going to them like at the Science Center, it's something that's transcendent of just watching like a regular movie at like the multiplex. That's why I've not gone back to them, because the story is thin, the characters are weak. There really isn't anything there. It's all about that theatrical exhibition. I would almost compare it to, I don't know, maybe like a Broadway show or something like that, to where it's like something that like exists in that moment in time and is not necessarily meant to be duplicated in other venues.
Yeah, it's carnival ride-esque.
Yeah.
Mixed with a movie, right? Like, as you say, like going to see it in that particular way is more of an event. And without that,
yes,
watching it at home, there isn't that event thing goes away. It doesn't matter if I've got a projector at home and I've got a 3D projector, whatever. It's not going to be the same. It's meant to be seen in a over the top, ridiculous kind of way. That's the way he's designed these movies to be.
Yeah. To the point where we're almost kind of embarrassed about it. Like, you know, we were talking to some of our coworkers, and it's like, no, we'll tell you when we went to go see the Avatar movie, but swear you to secrecy.
Yeah.
But it's almost like, I don't know, it's thinking about it more, it's almost like how those old-timey people probably felt going to go see Gone in the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing where it's like, oh, holy mackerel. It's like, you know, a big theatrical exhibition experience, or maybe even like, you know, how the West was won, like the old like three strip Cinerama, curved screen extravaganza, you know, that kind of thing that kind of transcends whether the movie is good or not, because for that kind of experience, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But that being said, this movie is wafer thin, despite the stunning visuals and the technological achievements. There kind of isn't a lot here.
No, and like I said, technology-wise, it doesn't go beyond the last movie, I don't think, that I could tell.
Right. The only thing you get more of is that irritating high frame rate,
which is supposed to make it less blurry when it's in 3D, but ends up just making it look like a cheaply made TV show from the 90s.
Yeah, at best, or at worst, we just came off of Christmas. It looks like your in-laws' TV that has the motion smoothing turned on, or like, you know, it's like I'm going to Best Buy and looking at the TVs and have like that motion blurring.
Why are they moving? Why does it move that way? I don't like that. You know, that's what everyone says when they go and see like a new fancy TV at like Best Buy.
Yeah, yeah,
because they have all these settings ramped up. But okay, besides that, like okay, that was maybe like one of the things, but as far as the look of the movie, it looked the same as the last movie, as far as I could tell. And the plot was kind of, the movie ends with the same final. I was confused. I for a second, I was like, have I seen this before? And I was like, well, yeah, you have. The last movie. Yeah,
3 years ago.
Three years ago, the ending of the last movie was pretty much the exact same ending of this movie.
Yeah.
And it was the first time where everything just felt like I've seen it before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that way with those first two movies. The second one, it wasn't as, you kind of knew what you were getting into because you'd seen the first one already. But even then, still, there was enough time between that first one and second one that the second one is like, you know, as far as, again, technology, it had such a leap. So huge. It was such a leap. And again, you just forgave the story.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like he doesn't have much more story to tell.
Yeah.
He's recycling the story. And he's just kind of using the same technology that exists from the last movie. So really, it's not impressive, really, in any way.
Right, right. Not visually. And, like, you know, we spent so much of this review already talking about, like, the visuals. And when the visuals aren't that interesting, like, you know, imagine going to go see Gone with the Wind and be like, it's fine. I kind of have that feeling when everything is super impressive, nothing is impressive. Now, there were some things that I did find weirdly compelling about this movie. It's weird.
It is a weird movie.
It is a strange, weird movie. And I think we learned a whole lot about what James Cameron is into more than I would have ever wanted.
Sure. Yeah.
And for a movie called Fire and Ash, not a lot of fire. There's some fire, but not a whole lot of ash.
No.
But I do think it's interesting. You do kind of add a couple spokes to the wheel where, like, you have, like, these fire tribe people that have, like, forsaken the ways and stuff. And some of that is kind of interesting. The lead villain is incredibly compelling.
Yeah.
Steals the show, basically.
Way over the top.
Yeah. My dude, Stephen Lang.
I was forgetting who the actor was. The guy who's been the bad guy, quote unquote, military bad guy from
Darth Vader of the saga, basically.
Yeah, from the other two movies. He's really unleashed in this one.
Yeah.
They just let him go wild. And then he's got this other crazy character, this female lead bad guy.
Yeah.
And the two of them together, they're just way over the top. And the stuff that they do. I kind of think of these movies sometimes as kid friendly or family friendly movies.
Yeah.
But they're kind of not, because there's a lot of violence, even though it's all like video game violence. These are all not real humans in there.
Right.
But this one, there were some scenes where I'm like, this is nutty, man. And I don't know if kids should be watching some of this stuff.
Well, and they're doing, like, space drugs at one point. Yeah. It's like, and there's, like, a weird, like, psychosexual element to it and stuff. Like, it's, I agree with you. It's, like, not really for the kids. I wonder if this is a movie for folks who were kids when that first movie came out in 2009.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
Now they've grown up to be able to handle it. But you're right. Very surprisingly intense and more mature than you would think.
But I think... Also, the way it was, like you're saying, there's some odd, wacky stuff in here that's just kind of like, what'd you say? Like, how would you explain it? I guess for me, it seems like they're in on the joke.
Yeah.
Somewhat. They know what they're doing, because there was a lot of laughs from this stuff. And I think it was intentional to be, you know, there's some one-liners when some of the weirder, more bizarre stuff. There were one-liners tucked away in there that kind of said, like, hey, we know that we're pushing it a little far. This is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But there were other moments that were supposed to be genuinely heartwarming or endearing where the audience just kind of laughed because it was so corny and so over the top. They had, like, and mixed with this other bizarre, weird stuff that you kind of just give up and just go, like, this is just nutty, and, like, I can't take any of it seriously.
Well, I also think that that's a product of the runtime. At 3 hours and 17 minutes, you start getting really fussy, and I think as I start fidgeting in my seat, I'm finding spots to hang on to and stuff to laugh at, sometimes at inopportune times, not what the movie wants me to, but it's like, but I'm, you know, I'm kind of getting wiggly, you know, kind of squirmy in my seat,
absolutely.
And I'm just like, all right, well.
Yeah, and you weren't the only one.
Mm-mm.
Like I said, there was other mics throughout the theater that I would hear laughing at moments where I was like, yeah, I don't think that was supposed to be meant to be funny there, but like it, and to your point, these movies, and I know he loves his long movies, James Cameron likes his long movies, but doesn't like intermissions. I honestly believe If you're going to go longer than, like, if you're, this is like 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm, look, I'm no spring chicken, but I'm not.
Sure.
I'm not that old. I'd like to get up and stretch my legs because it gets very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of that movie, you're like, come on, wrap this thing up. My knees are getting sore here. My back's not, you know, like,
right.
I'm getting bed sores here. Can we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, so. Battlestar Sciatica over there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a tough sit.
It is.
I do think it is, strangely enough, the funnest of the three. I think I like this one, strangely enough, because of how bizarre it is. Like, this one sits with me a little more than the other two. Like that second one just like water just smooth brain just slips right off. But like, you know, I think one of the criticisms of this series is that it has quote unquote no pop culture footprint. Like, nobody really thinks about it. But you see, like, you know, memes and fan art and things like that. And those are kind of things that kind of show that it's crossed over a little bit.
Yeah.
But It's still not super great. I don't know. Who would you recommend this to? At a time where we were like trying to keep this secret about how like we chose not to watch the end of the Seahawks game, the pivotal one against the Rams, to go see this movie on opening night.
I thought we were going to talk about it. Now you do it on radio. You let everybody know. Who is this for? Who would I recommend to go see this? I don't know. Because
I don't know.
The big hang up for me is it's a very long movie. It's a long movie. And so to tell somebody to go, hey, if you want to have some fun on the weekend and you know, just want to go see a popcorn movie, it's not very fun.
Right.
It's way too long. Mm-hmm. There's not enough meat on the bone. I don't know how to recommend it. I don't know anybody who likes these movies. I'm not being, you know, niece, nephews, I don't hear them talk about the Avatar movies. Right. I don't know anybody who likes these movies. They just accept that, oh, it's one of those Avatar movies and we should probably go see it because it's going to be crazy and over the top. But you said that this is the one of the three that you think you've...
This one kind of sticks with me only because like the villain turns.
Yeah. I think the first one is always going to be the one that if someone said, hey, you have to choose one of these movies to watch again and burn more of your life watching, I think I would pick the first one because it does move at a good clip.
Yep.
I think it's shorter. It's the shortest of all of them.
It's the shortest of the three. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Because I think
it's a half hour shorter than these last two.
And at that point, he still had something to prove, and I'm sure the studios were like, look, you can't go over 3 hours with this stuff. This is... And then once he proved that, hey, this is the massive hit that it was, I think he's got, you know, a little bit left. He was a little more off the leash for the second and third one.
Right.
So I get what you're saying. There are some wacky moments that are worth watching it maybe again just to see how goofy this third one is.
Yeah.
But really, if I come to it, that first one is always it lives up to the spectacle that it was supposed to be. I don't feel this two and three have not.
Absolutely.
And there's not much to revisit there for me.
And that's the other thing too. And so we'll see what happens in another few years. Maybe we'll get two more of these. Maybe we'll get no more of these. Maybe James Cameron will just hold a press conference and tell you what the secret of the ooze was or whatever the hell.
I will give him that in the last one, it ended with, okay, you kind of want to see what happens next. You get none of that. For me, you get none of that with this one. You just go, really? You're going to make another one of these? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, just stop. Just stop. And with that, we're just going to stop. Mr. KVI, thank you so much for traveling to the third dimension with me and for joining us here. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. My name is Big Mike. This is the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.